extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, and I want God meaningfully. But there was more. Really, I joined the seminary because I wanted to change the world. I wanted to end hunger. I wanted to work for world peace and see all humanity as one. And I'm still that way today. As people say about me, and I recognize, I think I'm an idealist. Now, it was at the peak of my seminary life in 1991 that I heard a song that spelled out my idealism. It was written and composed by Julie Gold in 1985 and performed for the first time by Nancy Griffith on the David Letterman show. In 1991, the song won a Grammy as sung by Betty Midler. And now you know who I'm talking, what I'm talking about. The song was From a Distance. Even today, when I hear the words of the song, tears well up in my eyes. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, no diseases, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we're all instruments, marching in a common band. Playing songs of hope, playing songs of peace. They are songs of every man. You remember that? I still well up with tears when I hear the song. And there's a huge part of me that wants us all to simply live in peace, to just let one day, not a child, go hungry. And that every human life is respected for the dignity that it has. Is that too much to ask? And I believe that if we can all get the big picture, if we can all see things from a distance, if we can just see things from God's eyes, that the world and the church can indeed be the reign of God. So here are my 3 points for us today. And I've called this homily a from a distance or a big picture perspective, a big picture spirituality. Let me explain. Here's my first point. So really, this homily is inspired by today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom. It is a big picture or from a distance kind of reading. So Wisdom says, hear this. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain. See, it's how God is looking at the world and how the world looks from a distance. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. It's God's view of the world. And it tells us how God sees the universe, not just the earth, but the universe. Furthermore, because God is looking at the universe from this perspective, Wisdom says that God has mercy on all. That God overlooks people's sins that they might repent. That God loves all things and loathes nothing that God has created. That everything that remains or exists is by God's will, and all that is preserved is called forth by God. That God rebukes offenders little by little, giving people a chance, to abandon wickedness and believe. And this is the part that really gets me. Wisdom says, but you, talking to God, but you spare all things because they are yours. O Lord and lover of souls. What a beautiful imagery that is. O Lord, lover of souls. For your imperishable spirit is in all things. So our God is a big picture kind of God. God looks at us from a distance and sees differently than we see. And this does not mean that God is distant. In fact, the incarnation tells us a different story. But the point is that if we can learn to look at the world and each other from God's eyes, our entire perspective will change. So I want to approach the Zacchaeus story, and this is my second point, from the big picture or from a distance perspective. You see, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was short of stature, but his perspective changed when he climbed a tree. So I'm looking at Zacchaeus from somebody who could not get the big picture and now climbs the tree and sees differently. He sees life from a distance. What does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees other people. He sees his faults, his injustices, and his sins. He sees everything differently. A peek into those who could not get the big picture. They complained against Jesus, saying, he has gone to stay at the house of a sinner. Now, folks, you and I have seen the spectacular images of the earth taken from space. Astronauts go up and they send us this absolutely breathtaking picture of the earth, and how beautiful and marvelous and immensely beautiful everything is, including every human person seated in this church today. And looking at everything with God's eyes, I believe that we can and should see each other and the world the way God sees it. Looking at the world from a distance, we can be a people of mercy just like God is. We can overlook other people's faults like God does. We can cherish and protect our beautiful earth, which is crying out for help, like God does. We can learn to love all that exists and is preserved because they exist and are preserved by God's will. We can be less judgmental and give people a chance like God does. And most of all, we can recognize God's imperishable spirit in all things and treat universe and life and the world and everything in it with a sense of immense sacredness. See, I'm saying that the big picture perspective can be a spirituality. From a distance can be a Christian discipleship's lifestyle. But to develop this kind of spirituality like Zacchaeus, we must be willing to climb the tree, to look at life from a distance. We must be willing to see the world as God sees it. And here's my third point. In the final analysis, the Zacchaeus story is a story of salvation, isn't it? Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus declares. And I want to argue that Zacchaeus' story gives us a big picture understanding of salvation. There are two dimensions to salvation. Our personal salvation begins with an encounter with Christ. Salvation is inviting Christ into our lives, into our homes. Salvation is turning our life over to Christ. But that's only one part of the story. There is an entire social dimension of salvation. Zacchaeus' story teaches us that salvation is not only about our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other. You see, from the top of the tree, Zacchaeus not only saw Jesus, but he also saw the people of his society differently. Thus far, he had been oppressing them. But encountering Christ had social implications. Zacchaeus must stop exploiting and oppressing the masses. He must right the wrong and repair the harm he has done. Zacchaeus, from a distance, recognizes that. And he says, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." Folks, notice this. It's only after Zacchaeus says that, that Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation has two dimensions. Our reconciling with God and our acceptance of each other. Salvation is a personal event, but it's equally a communal event. It is not enough to enter into communion with Jesus, but we must also accept every person in God's world as our brother and sister. Oppression, inequality, and injustice must cease. Wrong must be made right. And the harm we have done to the life and dignity of the human person must be repaired. This is integral to salvation. Remember, from a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, a common band. We are not soloists. We march in a common band. Playing songs of hope, playing songs of peace, they're the songs of every man. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. Sing with me. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. And folks, there is a paradox unfolding here on this altar. This God who watches us from a distance and sees everything that God created is so beautiful. This very God now is on this altar. This is a paradox. God is not distant. God watches us, but God is close by. God enters into communion with us like he did with Zacchaeus. And we receive this Jesus today. But as we receive this Jesus, let us put on the eyes of God and see the beauty that God's universe is, that the world is, that every human person is. And if we do that, then Jesus can say, today salvation has come to this house. People of God said,